Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is tape number 198, Early Christian Persecutions. The place was the world's capital, Rome. The occasion was the Great Fire of 64 AD, a fire set by the Emperor Nero himself. To divert suspicion from himself, Nero brought the charge of arson against the Christians. The charge seemed plausible, for the people were suspicious of Christians and imagined them guilty of many secret crimes. The accusation of arson, we are told by the pagan historian Tacitus, was unproved. But a vast multitude were convicted on a vaguer charge of hatred of the human race. Tacitus continues, "And they were put to death with insults, either dressed in the skins of beasts to perish for the worrying of dogs, or else put on crosses to be set on fire when daylight failed, for use as light by night." Nero had thrown open his gardens for that spectacle, and mingled with the people in jockey's dress or driving a chariot. Here we see the sufferings of Christ repeated, the false charge, the hatred of the crowd, the mockery, and the cruel death. Another historian, Suetonius, tells us that among new laws enacted by Nero was one which inflicted punishment on the Christians, a people described as given to a new and mischievous superstition. In the period from Nero to Diocletian, 64 to 313 AD, historians counted 10 persecutions. To be a Christian was a crime which could launch a persecution at any unexpected moment. The ultimate aim was to destroy the Christian faith completely, but that effort was frustrated by the zeal of the Christians and by their surprising readiness to suffer and die for their faith. No one better describes that frustration than the Roman lawyer Tertullian, converted in Carthage, who turned the sharpness of his wit to defend the Christians and taunt their adversaries. "The pagans," he says, "have their own heroes, men willing to die for their country, but if a Christian is willing to suffer for God, he is called a fool. But go to it, my good magistrates. The populace will count you a great deal better if you sacrifice the Christians to them. Torture us, rack us, condemn us, crush us. Your cruelty only proves our innocence. That is why God suffers us to suffer all this. But nothing whatever is accomplished by your cruelties, each more exquisite than the last. It is the bait that wins men for our school. We multiply whenever we are mown down by you. The blood of Christians is seed. That very obstinacy with which you taught us is your teacher. For who beholds it and is not stirred to inquire what lies indeed within it? Who, on inquiry, does not join us, and joining us, does not wish to suffer, that he may purchase for himself the whole grace of God? Thus did the early Christians follow in the footsteps of all those godly men of biblical times. Solomon, the wise king, said, 'My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth.' Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. The words of Solomon are repeated in Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, with the added encouragement, 'Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.' And to the Roman Christians, Paul writes, 'We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope.' Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Christians are also exhorted to emulate the achievements of the heroes of faith. A catalog of such heroes is presented in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the most famous names of Hebrew history. Some were mighty in battle. Others died under torture. Some were mocked, scourged, imprisoned, some stoned to death. The exhortation continues, 'Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. With unquestioned confidence in Christ, his followers were gladly ready to follow in his steps. Peter encourages them, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part is he glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 16.